Welcome into another week of Who's Gonna Win here on KJAN. We have the usual crew along with you here again this week. Jim Field, Doug Leonard, Matt Mullenix, and myself, Chris Parks, as we'll take a look at eight area high school football games for you. And, of course, first off, we'll take a look back at last week and how we did with our picks. We want to thank Rush CPA and Associates and Fairway for bringing you Who's Gonna Win here for the 2020 campaign. Let's take a glance over here at week number three as we get started. We had an eight-man contest, one of them on the sheet, and it was Glidden-Ralston pulling away in the second half to beat Exira EHK 57-34. That was a winner for Doug and Matt, a loser for myself and for Jim, so we split that one up. Also, it was Southwest Valley holding off AHSTW as they win at 28-14, and that was a winner for everybody except myself. I went out on a limb there with the Vikings. That came crashing down. And Tri-Center, a 49-14 winner over Sydney on the road. We all had the Trojans there, so we all got that one correct. Also, it was St. Albert pulling off the win over Riverside, a close game that we had for you here on the radio. 21-14, the final there. That was a winner for Matt and for Jim. Doug and myself had Riverside. We had a game that, didn't get played. It didn't exist by the time the end of the week rolled around, so we just go ahead and give everybody the win because we all picked Des Moines Christian to beat Shenandoah. As it turned out, they found another opponent, and they lost that game to Alta Aurelia, so we'll just call that one a wash and give us all a W to keep the numbers the same.
Des Moines Christian couldn't even beat the COVID.
Apparently not. Carroll was a 42-7 winner over Denison Schleswig. They must have had a whale of a second half. The game was tied at halftime at 7, and Carroll pulls away for that win. That was a winner for Doug. He went out on a limb and got that one from the rest of us. Also, Harlan, comeback victory over Glenwood. Glenwood had an unfortunate injury situation with their quarterback after leading 13-0 in the game, and Harlan comes back to win it, 22-13. That was a winner for everybody except for Jim. He went out on a limb there with Glenwood, and that one came up short. Also, Atlantic went on the road, picked up a 31-18 win over Greene County. That was a winner for everybody. We all had the Trojans there in that one as they pick up their opening district win. So that's a look back there at week number three. We'll get started with our week four picks right after this.
Don't trust your financial health with seasonal tax preparers. This is Ben Rush, certified public accountant at Rush CPA & Associates. We work year-round in the tax profession, as well as providing payroll services, estate planning, and bookkeeping. We spend 12 months a year studying tax law, reading up on changes, and working for you and your bottom line. Trust Rush CPA & Associates in Atlantic at 243-7770 to prepare your taxes this season and all year long.
Tony, what great specials are going on at the Atlantic Fairway this week?
Well, Becky, this week we have Green Giant 5-pound russet potatoes, just $1.68 for a 5-pound bag. AE sour cream, 16-ounce container, only $1.69. Fairway hash browns, 28 to 32-ounce bag, just $1.97. Just in time for crock pot weather, our meat department has boneless chuck roast, only $3.99 a pound. Stock up on 10-pound tubes of 80% lean ground beef, just $1.99 a pound. Nothing better than a boneless 8-ounce ribeye steak on the grill, only $6.99 each. See our ad for more great deals, and as always, thank you for choosing your Atlantic Fairway.
Welcome back now to Who's Gonna Win as we'll get started for week four, and we'll start with a couple of eight-man games out of the same district here as well in District 7. And take a look here first at the overall standings here for you. Douglas now at 20-4 overall, leading the way after 7-1 last week. Matt was 7-1, and he's now 19-5. Jim goes 5-3, he's 18-6. I went 4-4, and I'm bringing up the rear cart by a long shot here, 15-9. I might just have to turn the show over here to somebody else. I don't know.
Sports is worst.
Yeah. Well, sports is all about statistics and streaks and all that stuff. So when was the last time that Dougie Fresh was on top of our competition? Have you looked that up?
I don't know. I haven't looked for a while.
He had like a 2014.
Win. Yeah. He had a season victory.
So the decade. That's good.
I've actually won this program outright twice and tied once.
There you go. Huh. I think he was ahead actually for a while last year, if I remember right, for a couple weeks. Okay. So.
Yeah.
Hey, it goes Never around. It goes around, comes around. And since he is our top dog, he's going to start off the show here this week because we've got a game here between the Cam Cougars, who are 3-0, going on the road to take on East Mills here. Doug, who do you like?
Well, I like the road team. I like Cam. They've really got it rolling. We've got Speaker at quarterback. He's rushing threat and can throw the ball, obviously. Cade Tickner can run the ball as well. And then Jim got me on the stats last week of tackles for losses on Quick Stats, so I was checking that out. Colby Rich has 8.5 tackles for losses so far, and I'm impressed. So I think they've got the offense and defense running. East Mills has struggled a little bit offensively. I think their quarterback, if he when he's on, I think that's probably what leads them to victory, but he's had some issues throwing interceptions too. So I'm going to take Cam.
All right, one for the Cougars. Matt, what do you like?
I'm going to take the Cougars as well this week. Just like everything Doug said there, I really like where they're sitting right now, and they've kind of got all phases of the game clicking pretty well. And East Mills, they've kind of been hot and cold on what's working for them. So I'll go with the Cougars on the road.
All right, another one there for Cam. Now I'll make it three. Cam looking really solid here early on in the season. This will be, I think, the first game where they do get tested a little bit, maybe especially early in the game, because East Mills kind of hung around a little bit with Fremont Mills last week before the Knights pulled away, and I think that's going to be one of those fun games in the district that comes along here when they meet up. But, Lane Speaker has done it all. I mean, look at his stats, and he's already got four returns in special teams, two kick returns, two punt returns for touchdowns this year. And they have another guy, Connor McKee, who's ran one back on a kick for a touchdown. So they're doing it in all kinds of different ways, and I like them to go on their own and get this one. Jim?
Well, thank you, Doug. I do like to dig a little deeper sometimes on the statistics we don't normally look at, just because, you know, high school football is a different breed of cat than college and professional football. It's kind of fun to see who's disrupting things once in a while. But in this game, I stuck with the traditional statistics. East Mills in their two losses to Fremont Mills and Lennox gave up about 300 or so yards rushing in each of those games. Cam is averaging nearly about 300 yards a game rushing. So that's not a good mix for East Mills right now. I like Cam.
All right.
Running away.
Running away. Yeah. Cougars across the board there. That one to get it started here. We'll go in the same district here, the Grizzled Tigers, trying to bounce back up off the mat here. They've had a tough, tough run here to start the season with their schedule, and they'll go on the road to take on Stanton Essex here in this next one. Matt, who's going to win?
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to go with Stanton Essex just based off the records here. I think, Grizzled has done a nice job here. They've come out, was able to see some of their first game against Cam out there, and I thought they did a nice job of establishing a run. They just kind of lacked that depth, and as the game went on, to continue to play in there. So I see Stanton kind of on the flip side of that. They've had a couple of nice wins in there, got some good things going, some positive things, and until you can kind of get that rolling for Griswold, I don't see much of a change for them. So I'm going to go with the Vikings at home.
All right. It's one there for Stanton Essex. Kind of different stories, I guess, as far as the schedule is concerned, because Griswold's played a really tough schedule here to start the season. Stanton Essex, not so much, but they do have some more offense out there. Carter Johnson is kind of their do-it-all guy. He's done a pretty good job in the run and the pass game. They've got a good receiver in Colby Royal as well, who's racked up 200 yards and three touchdowns. Griswold, they'll have to work that ground game. That's what they like to do. Cale Swain's kind of their leader there. They just haven't been consistent enough yet, and part of that's the tough competition. But I think this will be closer for them, but I do like Stanton Essex to pull out the win, so I'm going to take the Vikings as well. Jim?
Yeah, same here. Griswold's had a hard time generating much offense at all so far this year. They're just averaging about 100 yards a game total, and between Logan Roberts on the ground and Carter Johnson behind the center, they're just putting up some solid numbers there with Stanton Essex. So, yeah, I'm going to go with them too. And what? So, are they the Vikings, or are they like the Trokings?
They're just the Vikings.
I mean, Vikings, Trojans? I'm trying to figure how you mix those.
Yeah, they just went with Vikings.
Just went with Vikings. Yeah. Okay, good enough.
Yep. Bigger town wins, I guess.
Yeah. Stanton, the metropolis.
Doug, who's going to win this one?
Well, I think Stanton is. As everything you guys have said is my thought process. So Griswold just is not generating a lot of offensive firepower so far this year. And then hopefully they can get it turned around. But I think take the home team.
All right, that's Stanton Essex across the board there as well. It's our first two games. We'll take a break, come back and look at some more here in just a moment on who's going to win.
Don't trust your financial health with seasonal tax preparers. This is Ben Rush, certified public accountant at Rush CPA & Associates. We work year-round in the tax profession, as well as providing payroll services, estate planning, and bookkeeping. We spend 12 months a year studying tax law, reading up on changes, and working for you and your bottom line. Trust Rush CPA & Associates in Atlantic at 243-7770 to prepare your taxes this season and all year long.
Tony, what great specials are going on at the Atlantic Fairway this week?
Well, Becky, this week we have Green Giant 5-pound russet potatoes, just $1.68 for a 5-pound bag. AE sour cream, 16-ounce container, only $1.69. Fairway hash browns, 28 to 32-ounce bag, just $1.97. Just in time for crock pot weather, our meat department has boneless chuck roast, only $3.99 a pound. Stock up on 10-pound tubes of 80% lean ground beef, just $1.99 a pound. Nothing better than a boneless 8-ounce ribeye steak on the grill, only $6.99 each. See our ad for more great deals, and as always, thank you for choosing your Atlantic Fairway.
Welcome back to Who's Gonna Win, and we're gonna go to some contests here in Class A District 9. We did this last week for you. We had three games in that district, and we've got three of them again here this week because it's a pretty interesting district. All teams are kind of right in there. It's going to be tough week in and week out to determine who's going to separate themselves here from the pack, and I guess I'm going to get first crack at this first one. It's HSTW on the road at Sydney. Sydney 0-3. It's HSTW at 1-2. The Vikings came up shy last week, and it sounded like it could have been a little bit worse than what it turned out to be. Heard that the kind of possession time was just dominated by Southwest Valley in that game. They had the ball for like 35 minutes, I was told, in that game. So they really did it up front in their size. So that's what concerns me a little bit. Looking up and down the roster, Sydney does have a little bit of size. Matthew Benedict, their quarterback, has been putting up some decent numbers. I just find it tough, though, that AHSTW is not going to figure some things out here eventually on offense. You know, guys like Blake Holst, Denver Pauly, they just haven't got it consistently going throughout a game. And, of course, when you don't have the ball, you can't do much damage. But I'm going to give AHSTW another chance here to go on the road and pick one up. I'm going to ride them again here, see if they come through this week. Jim.
All right, very good. Yeah, it's a lot of the same. I just noted that AHSTW has just had a little bit better rush game, I think, than Stanton has this or than Sydney has this year. And Denver Pauly's been really good both offensively and defensively. He's put up some good numbers. He's been a solid defensive player for the Vikings, too. So, yeah, I'm going to go with AHSTW to win on the road.
All right, two for the Vikings. Doug?
Well, let's make it three. I like the run game for the Vikings. I also like what Blake Holst has done behind center, too. He's been able to generate some good passing, I think. Sydney's is pretty balanced, too. I mean, their numbers are actually pretty similar between their quarterback running back combination, but I'm going to take the Vikings.
All right, Matt?
Okay. Well, yeah, a lot of similarities between the teams there, but, you know, my thing is with Sydney, they've been an eight-man team for so long here, and so a lot of these kids have just been playing, even through middle school, been playing eight-man ball, and we say, well, there's not much difference to the game. Well, there is a little bit when you add those in there, or the step from the eight-man to the 11-man, and at the beginning of the summer, they petitioned to stay eight-man when they found out that they were jumping up to 11-man or had to. So I think there's just a little bit of there, that adjustment still that's going on for a lot of these kids. So I'm going to take the Vikings on the road.
All right, go with HSTW across the board. I've got an interesting matchup, and this is one that I'm thinking a lot of people will keep an eye on here this week. Southwest Valley travels up on the hill to take on St. Albert here this week. St. Albert coming off that close win over Riverside. Jim, you get first crack here at this one.
Yeah, this would be a pretty fun game to see, I think, actually. There's a lot of quality there. St. Albert, I think, depends on a few kids to really kind of get the job done for them. They played decent ball last week and picking up the win on the road at Riverside. Get to come home this week. Southwest Valley's been really solid, though. They've had a solid start this year. Their defense is very disruptive. You take a look at, help me out with his last name, Tucker Teepole.
Teeple.
Have you seen his stats defensively? Mm-hmm. I mean, 21.5 tackles, 14.5 tackles for loss, and 6 sacks. Now, granted, they've played 4 games, more than the other teams who've played 3, but still, that's pretty solid. I mean, that's a lot of damage before anybody really gets a head of steam going. I like Southwest Valley on the road in this one. I just think defense like that's going to make a difference and have St. Albert struggling to kind of get started.
All right. It's one there for the Timberwolves. Doug?
I agree with Jim. I think the Timberwolves had an impressive start to the season. You know, their offense runs through their quarterback, Brennan Knapp. If the Falcons could find a way to slow him down, I think they have a chance to win this game. But I just like the Timberwolves.
All right. Two for Southwest Valley. Matt?
Yeah, definitely. Knapp does everything for him, throws the ball when he has to. They really don't have too many pass attempts on the season, and they've pretty much done everything on the ground. And so, you know, that's just how they're going to get things done. Last year, this was a close game. You know, this series over the last 5 years has been three wins for St. Albert, two for Southwest Valley. And last year, Southwest Valley picked up the win in a 6-2, I guess, defensive battle there.
How many innings did that game go?
That's right. I'd look for something very similar. I know St. Albert, they've played some right out of the gate. You know, they played LC and Logan as non-district games and had really tough ball games there, as we're kind of seeing Logan's becoming as a pretty solid team there. So, but they did bounce back and pick up a win last week, as it was a tight one over Riverside. So, I don't know, this is going to definitely be a good game. So I'm just, you know, right off of stats and the way things are trending right now, I think Southwest Valley has a lot of momentum, and I think St. Albert's still trying to figure things out for themselves. So I'm going to go with the Timberwolves, right? The
Timberwolves.
Yes.
All right. Three for Southwest Valley. Yeah, you know, I don't know. This is a tough one for me, because I really think that Riverside's got some good ball left in them here yet this season. I was pretty impressed with the way, especially their defense, played last week. And, you know, Southwest Valley is kind of doing the same thing. Their defense may be leading the charge a little bit. But St. Albert was able to kind of overcome. They hit a couple big plays. They've got some strong players like Cy Patterson, Sam Rallis. You know, if they can break one, you know, it changes the game quickly. They caught a break on special teams last week as well. I don't know. This is tough. I guess because I'm so far behind already, I might as well take a St. Albert limb pick on the hill. I'll go ahead and do that.
Take a flyer.
I'll take a flyer on the Falcons. I think they can hit those big plays and get this one done. Should be a good game. Another one that'll be a good game, I expect as well, in Class A District 9, Riverside trying to bounce back from that close loss to St. Albert will go on the road to take on a good Tri-Center team. Doug, who's going to win?
Yeah, I think, I chose wrong on that one last week. The Bulldogs let me down on that one, but I have faith in Coach Frain's team there. I think they're... you know, they're going to make some hay this year in this district and in the playoffs. And, you know, Tri-Center, on the other hand, I mean, they've got a talented quarterback in Jackson Johnson, but he has shown the ability to turn the ball over sometimes too. 7 touchdowns passing, but 7 interceptions as well. So I think Riverside will take advantage of that and win on the road.
All right. One for the Bulldogs. Matt?
Well, the same could be said about Riverside's quarterback. He's got 4 touchdowns and 4 interceptions.
Well, as 4 interceptions is less than 7.
Are you reading my notes?
He does have fewer attempts, though, also.
Well, don't get sophisticated on
Come
me.
Come on.
It nets out. He's an accountant.
We're fine. But yeah, what I have written down is very similar teams. You know, in their production, what they've done, I think their strength of schedules have been very similar as well down the road. So I'm going to give the edge to Tri-Center. I think they have just a little bit more size up front. I just kind of like they're probably a little more versatile in what they can get done, and we'll just give them the home field advantage this week. So we'll go with the Trojans of Tri-Center.
All right. It's one there for Tri-Center. This is just another one of those tough games. I was pretty impressed with the way Riverside played last week. The thing I guess I was most disappointed in is they just did not get their offense consistently going in that game against St. Albert, which is something I thought that they could do, be a little bit more methodical down the field, because Rhett Bentley's a nice back, and then Austin Krimkowski can scramble a little bit as well. Eddie Volchek on the defensive side, we mentioned guys that have been racking up defensive numbers, 19 tackles, 5 tackles for loss there for Riverside. He'll mix it up a little bit back there. But Tri-Center's put up some big numbers, and I think coming into the season, they had pretty high hopes on what they were going to accomplish. They ran into a buzzsaw the other week with Underwood, but being at home, if this was the other way around, I think I'd change my mind, but Riverside not quite getting that confidence from maybe being able to pull off a win last week hurts them, so I'm going to give the edge here to Tri-Center and give them the chance to win here. Jim?
All right, very good. Well, there's nothing that I've written down that hasn't been said already. Matt stole my note about the same number of touchdowns, interceptions, or use my note. You know, Riverside's better rushing team than Tri-Center. Tri-Center's better passing team than Riverside is. Tri-Center does have the historical edge. They are at home. And I had no idea who to pick on this one. I did not give myself any notes about who to select, so I guess I'm just going to go with the crowd here and leave Doug out on a limb. I'm going to go with Tri-Center since they are at home.
All right. I'm going to go three for Tri-Center and Doug there with Riverside. Another good ball game there in that district. We'll see how that shakes out this week there in Class A District 9. Going to move on to Class 1A District 9, and this is another game that probably a lot of people will be paying attention to as well. Underwood goes on the road to take on Trainer in what could be a rough and tumble ball game. Matt,
Eli? Yeah, this is going to be another good ball game in there. Trainer likes to get it done on the ground. They've got a lot of versatility in who they can give it to with their running backs. They kind of run a little bit of it's kind of a pseudo double wing set there. So they like to put those wing backs in motion, come around behind the fullback there, and they'll run that toss sweep or belly option through there, some reverses, and then they also like to put the ball up. They got a couple of good targets to get the ball downfield to. So on the other side, we've seen Underwood. You know, we saw them play here a few weeks ago, very solid team. The difference, I think, is the defense. Underwood's defense is very aggressive. They got some good size up front, have the ability to stop that run. Their secondary's aggressive. They like to bump up on the line of scrimmage. So with that being said, I'm going to have to go with the Underwood Eagles.
All right, one there for Underwood. A couple things I wrote down there for Underwood, you know, kind of big and strong. They're guys that are tough out there. They're going to lay a lick on you and get after you aggressively, as Matt said there, defensively. And then on offense, you know, they do a good job spreading the ball around. They've got a number of guys that they can work it to. It doesn't have to be the same guy leading the way every week, and that's a big advantage. I saw what Trainer happened to them when they played a pretty tough defense in Glenwood earlier here this year. And I think that's kind of the same scenario here. So I'm going to go with Underwood as well. I think the Eagles will win it. Jim?
Well, you know, coming into the year, probably because it's such an important position, probably quarterback was Underwood's biggest question mark. They probably had designated this younger Ravlin as being the successor to the older Ravlin, but new, you got to mesh with the guys. I mean, that's a big question mark coming into the year. But, you know, the young guy's performed really well. He's kept his poise. He's done some really terrific things running that offense, both on the ground and through the air. You know, Trainer just doesn't throw too much, which is not that big a deal. But I just think they're a little bit more versatile. I like Underwood, like you guys said. I think their defense is pretty stout, and I think their offense gives you enough different looks that I think they're pretty tough right now. I'm going with Underwood.
All right, another one for the Eagles. Doug?
I'm not bucking the trend on this one, boys. Okay. I'm going Underwood as well, and I couldn't add to the conversation, so I'll leave it at that.
No, not so fast, my friend.
No, on that one? Not on this one.
Okay. All right, we've got two more picks left on the sheet, and we will get to those after we take a quick break here on Who's Going to Win.
Don't trust your financial health with seasonal tax preparers. This is Ben Rush, certified public accountant at Rush CPA & Associates. We work year-round in the tax profession, as well as providing payroll services, estate planning, and bookkeeping. We spend 12 months a year studying tax law, reading up on changes, and working for you and your bottom line. Trust Rush CPA & Associates in Atlantic at 243-7770 to prepare your taxes this season and all year long.
Tony, what great specials are going on at the Atlantic Fairway this week?
Well, Becky, this week we have Green Giant 5-pound russet potatoes, just $1.68 for a 5-pound bag. AE sour cream, 16-ounce container, only $1.69. Fairway hash browns, 28 to 32-ounce bag, just $1.97. Just in time for crock pot weather, our meat department has boneless chuck roast, only $3.99 a pound. Stock up on 10-pound tubes of 80% lean ground beef, just $1.99 a pound. Nothing better than a boneless 8-ounce ribeye steak on the grill, only $6.99 each. See our ad for more great deals, and as always, thank you for choosing your Atlantic Fairway.
Welcome back to Who's Gonna Win. Let's dive into our final two picks here for week number four. We've got a matchup here in Class 1A District 8. Kemper Catholic goes on the road to take on ACGC. Couple 1-2 squads here, and I guess I get first crack here at this one. I did get a chance, of course, to see Kemper against Atlantic earlier this year. You know, they've got a couple of guys that they can try to work the ball to. They're just not consistent. You know, they don't do things with any regularity, it seems like. They've got a couple of backs that, you know, hit a big run here and there, but just doesn't ever seem to turn into you know, a full-on consistent effort for the game. They had a couple of nice drives in that game against Atlantic early in the game, but that changed quickly in the second half. ACGC, on the other hand, is a team that's going to run, and run some more. Charlie Crawford, Gavin Cornelison have done a good job on the ground running the football. They're just a tough, hard-nosed team. And I think the ability of them to just kind of lean on that and be able to push the ball, you know, in maybe long drive fashion themselves and being at home gives them an edge. I'm going to take a flyer here on ACGC. I think they picked this one up here at home. Jim.
All right, very good. You know, I look at this as if I were in ACGC's shoes, these are two schools that were little tiny dots on the map that merged and became just a little bit bigger dot on the map. But Kemper Catholic, granted, it's not the size school that it used to be, but it's a program that brings with it, you know, a lot of clout and swagger, perhaps. So, you know, if you're ACGC, you're probably looking at this as saying, hey, here we are. You know, we're going to beat somebody and beat somebody with a bit of a name to them. It boils down to turnovers in this one. And bottom line is Kemper Catholic does not create a lot of turnovers. At least they haven't so far this year defensively. ACGC in their two losses, it's directly pretty much led to their turnover. They've lost three fumbles against Earlham, didn't get any turnovers on the other way, and they lost a couple of fumbles that led to scores against Woodward Rangers. So it's hang on to the football, and you got yourself a chance. So I'm going to hope to hang on to the football, and I'm going to give ACGC the shot.
All right, two there for the Chargers. Doug?
Kemper has a couple running backs, Siebenhaller, Vanami, that have both been able to generate some yards on the ground, but I just think, you know, we saw Atlantic run the ball, not tons of yards, but, you know, fairly successfully against Kemper. And I think a team like ACGC that bases their offense on that, you know, I think they'll be able to have that same success. So I'm going to take the home team.
All right. Three for the Chargers. Matt.
Yeah, I don't think any shocker here. I think I'm going to kind of stay here with ACGC. You guys kind of alluded to Kemper Catholic there as far as their defense. Yeah. Saw the film on South Central Calhoun. South Central Calhoun racked up, you know, 350 yards on them. Atlantic ourselves, you know, racked up 200 yards on them. So they just don't quite have that ability to stop the run, or that they've shown up front here in these first few games. And, of course, that's what ACGC does. That's what they hang their hat on. They practice that every day, and that's what they do well. So I'm going to go with the Chargers at home.
All right. Never know. Build some momentum. Might make your way. Try to run to the dome.
That's right.
We got one more game here to take a look at, and it's Class 2A District 9, and it's Clarinda, technically at Atlantic, but the game's going to be played a little further away, going to be played in Glenwood here this week, much to the dismay of many folks here in the area, but that's where it will be at their new facility that's fairly fresh as well, so get a good look at how that setup goes, and we'll have that game for you tonight here on the radio. 1-2 Clarinda squad, 2-1 for the Trojans. Jim, who's going to win?
Atlantic, quite frankly. You know, Clarinda, they're working with youth. I mean, you've got a quarterback and a running back who are both sophomores. You know, that's something you can take advantage of. They're not as seasoned. Atlantic's got a little bit more experience up there. And, you know, those are great bounce-back wins the last 2 weeks on the road. I mean, the three road games to start with, so I guess they're pretty well prepared for their home road game. but, you know, Kemper Catholic and Greene County, those were both nice bounce-backs after an admittedly tough game against Underwood, where they were a little shorthanded and then got beat fairly well. But they bounced back on the road. That's tough to do. So, no, I think for this home road game, they are ready to go. So I like the Trojans.
All right, Trojans. Doug?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I like what Atlantic's been able to do offensively, you know, have been able to throw the ball at times. Nice to have a target or a receiving target like Colin Mullinex with hands like that, catch the ball. You know, I like the throwing to the tight end. You know, Garrett Reynolds has got height you know, a little bit of speed, deceptive speed, can catch the ball. And the kids running the ball now, too, are just running hard. You know, they're probably not going to break a 50-yard run, but they're going to get those hard yards, I think. So I liked what Atlantic has been able to turn around the season a little bit, and even got a few votes this week, I think, in the 2A poll. So go Trojans.
All right. Couple for Atlantic. Matt?
I'll stick with the Trojans as well. I think you just got a group of kids that playing for each other. They understand that you know, pretty much every one of their games will probably be on the road, and that's just what they've accepted, and they know for a fact that there's also that possibility that each week could be your last game. So they've just kind of gone out with that, I guess, that motto, that mantra, and they just go out and play hard, and it has been, you know, kind of each week you don't quite know who's going to be the star. You know, they've kind of all stepped up in different roles, offensively and defensively in there. So, but Clarinda's, you know, they're another challenge here. You're going to see a team that's, that does a lot of what we've seen the last couple of weeks here. They like to use that, quarterback read option in there, going right or left with those running backs. And, he's just going to see what's that end going to do. Is he going to pull it out? Going to throw the ball downfield? I do have a few weapons in there. He's a big, big solid quarterback in there as a sophomore. I think just the experience, like Jim talked about, lacks a little bit of experience there. But when he decides to throw the ball, he's got a very strong arm. He's been a pretty powerful pitcher for them on the baseball field. But he likes to do that. So we'll see. You know, they know what Atlantic likes to do too. So obviously their job, they're going to try to stop the run first and see if we can throw the ball. So it'll be an interesting ball game. I think going with the Trojans.
All right. Yeah, Wyatt Smith has done a decent job there at QB for Clarinda, and they've got a couple different guys, Isaac Jones and Michael Scholl, that they like to hand it off to. It seems like there's been a Scholl at Clarinda for 20 years, but I keep saying that name. But Atlantic, I think they're ready. I think what I've been most impressed with, aside, you know, you look at the offensive numbers and some of those plays and the running game that's picked up, but it's been the defense. They've come up in big spots when they needed to make big plays. They've done it. They did it in that Kemper game to help seal the win. And then last week, you know, the pick six by Bodie to help kind of get the separation that you needed to win that game there against Greene County. So they've made the big defensive plays, and I think that helps them again here this week against this young Clarinda squad. So I'll take the Trojans as well. And again, that'll be a broadcast game here for you tonight. We'll have it for you here on the radio and online to watch as well on KJN-TV. Mike Smith will be joining me shortly here for that broadcast. Thanks, guys, for coming in. Another week of Who's Going to Win here for you. That's Jim Field, Doug Leonard, Matt Mullenix, and myself, Chris Parks. We want to thank Rush CPA and Associates and Fairway for bringing you Who's Going to Win here in 2020. Trojan football coming up here shortly.
Don't trust your financial health with seasonal tax preparers. This is Ben Rush, certified public accountant at Rush CPA and Associates. We work year-round in the tax profession, as well as providing payroll services, estate planning, and bookkeeping. We spend 12 months a year studying tax law, reading up on changes, and working for you and your bottom line. Trust Rush CPA and Associates in Atlantic at 243-7770 to prepare your taxes this season and all year long.
Tony, what great specials are going on at the Atlantic Fairway this week?
Well, Becky, this week we have Green Giant 5-pound russet potatoes, just $1.68 for a 5-pound bag. AE sour cream, 16-ounce container, only $1.69. Fairway hash browns, 28 to 32-ounce bag, just $1.97. Just in time for crock pot weather, our meat department has boneless chuck roast, only $3.99 a pound. Stock up on 10-pound tubes of 80% lean ground beef, just $1.99 a pound. Nothing better than a boneless 8-ounce ribeye steak on the grill, only $6.99 each. See our ad for more great deals, and as always, thank you for choosing your Atlantic Fairway.